Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Pleased that my portrait brings an interesting symmetry to the White House collection. It now starts and ends with a George W. When the British burned the White House, as Fred mentioned, in 1814, Dolly Madison famously saved this portrait of the first George W. Now, Michelle, if anything happens, there's your man.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen, the Republicrats at work. You know there's no difference between the Republican and Democrat Party. It's all a charade. It's like two-card Monty, only there's no P under either shell. How do you feel about George Bush being on such a friendly level with Barack Obama? Do you think it's a good thing that the parties get along so well? Because you see, I, as an independent in America, I, as a voter in America, I, as an independent voter in America, I, as an immigrant son in America, I'm quite cynical about things. And so, therefore, my opinion may be a little different than yours. I have the feeling that when both parties get along, there's only one loser, and that's the American people. They're not supposed to get along. They're supposed to be at each other's throats. They're supposed to criticize each other. They're supposed to keep each other in line. So when both parties get along a little too comfortably, what you really have is a one-party system, and the American people are getting screwed. That's my opinion. Here are some of the headlines on michaelsavage.com. And by the way, you know, look, I got millions of listeners, and of course it's a much smaller number that go to the website. I'm trying to get you to go to the website, because the stories there are really amazing, how we collect them and put them up there. And now we have another Lincoln's of Marriage Act. The three-judge panel in Boston overrode the presidency of the United States. Three rotten liberal, well, let's put it to you this way. The stench from the bench is making me clench. Something I coined back in 1994 that is more appropriate now than ever. You certainly wouldn't want to be the dry cleaner in the neighborhood of this particular court. Can you imagine trying to clean those robes after those three get out of them? The stench from the bench is making me clench. Sometimes you got to go guttural in order to get it right. I can talk in highfalutin English. I can talk with PhD terminology, or I can tell it you like it is. And the like it is the stench from the bench is making me clench. These stinkers should be put in a pillory for what they just did. Who gives these three judges the right to override the executive branch? Where's it written? GM makes undisclosed $600,000 deal with CFO's wife's agency. The bailout was a Democrat crony socialist nightmare from Obama. Report says Obama flies his personal barber to the White House every 2 weeks, and that's because he's a man of the people. 1-800-449-8255. Here's a real good one. Eric Holder, the Attorney General, is saying to black leaders there's a sacred right to vote under attack. Now, he's a liar. He's a bald-faced liar. The only right to vote that's under attack is the right for illegal aliens to vote. And they, of course, have no right to vote. And, of course, since the Democrats rely upon illegal voting by illegal aliens and those who vote three times, I mean, we heard the postman only rings twice. Under Eric Holder, what is it, the voters only vote twice? This speech by Holder came before the Council of Black Churches, This is a violation of the separation of church and state. But as you know, communists and socialists hate the church except when they can use it to advance their own ends. National socialism was a big thing in Germany in the 1930s. Apparently, national socialism is becoming a bigger thing in America in this decade. Here's another story for you. Bloomberg wants to impose a 16-ounce limit on sugary drinks. I guess you could say with this one, Little Brother. Little Brother is watching you. Why does Little Brother Bloomberg think it's his right to tell people what to eat? Where does this dopey billionaire get the right to impose his views on people? How do you feel about Little Brother telling you you have a limit on how much sugar you can drink? You know, after smoking and fats and soda, what do you think liberals will try to ban next? Don't you see this for what it is? They ban everything that you like except marijuana, which they are encouraging you to use under the false notion that there's some medicinal value to marijuana when there isn't. Don't you see the conspiracy here? Don't you see that they're doping the population in order to manipulate you and to keep you under their thumb? Now, there's a tune I could play right now, but I'm not going to do it. Instead, I'll go to the next story on michaelsavage.com while you're dialing us. 53-year-old cross to be torn down thanks to the Anti-Christian Liberties Union. The Anti-Christian Liberties Union has a vendetta for Christianity that is something I have not seen since the Crusade. The ACLU and the Islamists have another thing in common, and that is a contempt for Christianity. As I am concerned, they are an illegitimate, anti-American, anti-church, anti-family, anti-military, anti-police body that should have been routed. They should have been stopped a long time ago. Where did they get elected as the fifth branch of government? Did you elect these left-wing fanatics as a branch of government? When did you elect these psychotics as a branch of government? Who gave them this power? Every day we read, ACLU says this, ACLU says that. Who are they? Why are they so powerful? It's because you're on marijuana and you don't know what's going on. That's why. And that's why you don't understand something. I start the show by saying, are you comfortable that George W. Bush and Barack Obama are on such friendly bon ami? You know, there's such bon ami between them. Such good terms. Oh, Michelle, we're all together here with such powerful. How do you feel about that? You don't understand yet what's going on. Well, there was a dialogue written many thousands of years ago by the Greeks. That's right. The Greeks gave us philosophy. They were the rock bed, the bedrock of Western civilization was the Greek philosopher, were the Greek philosophers. And one of the great Greek philosophers wrote that the average man doesn't really know what's going on. He thinks he sees the players, but all he sees are the shadows on the wall of the cave. He doesn't even see the players. All he sees are the shadows on the walls of the cave. And that's what we see, the shadows on the walls of the cave. Whether the shadow be Bush, or the shadow be Obama, or the shadow be Holder, these are just the shadows on the walls of the cave. No, they are not really the puppet masters at all. No way at all. No way at all. UK probing 40 cases of child rape by Muslims. Muslim groups are accusing British authorities of Islamophobia for looking into child rape by Muslims. Notice none of these people have been banned from England, but I'm banned from England. Poles demand Obama apologize for Polish death camp remark. The Polish foreign minister called Obama and said this is a matter of ignorance and incompetence. No kidding! No kidding, we have an ignorant, incompetent man in the White House. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Notice I haven't said Romney once. Romney. Romney, Romney, Romney. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Richie Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Now, here's another story I linked up on Michael Savage. For some, exercise may increase heart risk. The researchers say they do not know why. Well, they ought to ask me because I've been warning you about too much exercise now for several years. How many years have I warned you that if you're over 40, stop trying to think you can run as well as you did when you were 30? That you should push yourself the American way. Push till you're gagging. Worked out today. 3 hours. I feel great. Bingo. Massive heart attack. Dead. They don't know why. Because the human being was not made to run, nor to push himself or herself that hard after a certain age. No, you were not made to do it. This is fanaticism and insanity. But go ahead. I don't care. I wouldn't ban it. Run if you want, like Jim Fix. Run in 104-degree weather till you get a massive heart attack. Those are some of the stories that have attracted my attention on the Savage Nation. Phone number is 1-800-449-8255. My name is Michael. My last name is Savage. I am in, where am I? I'm in Area 52. I'm no longer in San Francisco. I'm here down in Los Angeles. I had a great dinner last night in Beverly Hills. You know, another ripoff pasta palace. What can I tell you? What prices? My God. But I almost made a mistake and ordered a $540 bottle of wine because I couldn't see in the dark. So my friend Davi said, wait a minute, it's not I kept saying to the waiter, because he was talking in Italian, half, you know, the con, half Italian, half English. I said, do you have a Tignanello? Yeah, we have two of them. So I saw one was $380 and one was $40, I thought. So I said to the waiter, oh, good, you have a Tignanello for $40? Yeah, it's a good one. It was dark, I couldn't see. So I said, I'll take it. So Robert looks over. He said, that's not $40. It's $540. You were confusing the five for a dollar sign. I said, oh, my God. He said, give us the $28 bottle. It's actually better than most of the wines here. So that's what we drank. I didn't drink the wine at all. Right now, I have to tell you, just so you know what's going on, because I'm liking to up to a certain level, I can tell you a lot. As I talk to you, I have very, very severe dizziness and allergies. My ears are off, clogged, probably allergies. I have a 50% loss of hearing right now. I'm like inside a tube. As I speak with you, I feel like I'm in an airplane when your ears go out. No matter what I do, I can't get it down. So I just took a Benadryl. A Benadryl, as you well know, will help with the allergic reaction, but it may make me dopey. So that's where I'm at right now. So far, I haven't felt a thing. I'm still dizzy. I still can't hear. And I'm not drowsy. And I'm enjoying myself. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is my privilege to introduce the greatest first lady ever. Sorry, Mom. Would you agree to a tie?
There it is. That's the world we live in. That's the world we live in. I mean, I'm not asking them to scream at each other, but this overt friendliness worries me. And I'll tell you why. We know that Obama is a socialist slash communist slash Leninist, depending upon which policy. Okay, on every policy level, anyone who knows, has any level of sophistication of politics, knows what he is. So Bush must know it. He was president. He's an intelligent man. The fact of the matter is, I called Bush a fiscal socialist in the last years of his regime, if you remember. I was the only one who was on to him. His spending was out of control. Bush took the expenditures of the federal government and basically equaled that of the previous three administrations. So Bush was a fiscal socialist. Many of you stopped listening to me and have come back because you thought I was insulting Bush and why didn't I support him? I was right. So Obama took a $1 trillion deficit and now it's a $4.5, $5 trillion deficit. So it's a continuation of the same, quote, socialist spending pattern that Bush was engaged in. That's why he's friendly to him. The same puppet masters control both of the parties, as far as I can tell, and I don't know who they are. Now you can start, Bilderberg, Schmilderberg, Hildeberg, Middleberg, Littleberg, Middletown, your town, my town, his town, your town's coming. I don't know who controls anybody. I've heard all the conspiracy theories. Do you really know? Some fat man in a tuxedo in Munich? I don't know who does, who controls it all. George Soros? You want to believe he controls the whole world? I don't believe it. Of course, when he loses, the day he ever loses on any investment is the day I'll know he doesn't control the world. 1-800-449-8255. Now, don't start calling me now on who controls the world. That's so, where are we going to go with that one? Let's talk about Little Brother hates you. Little Brother Mayor Bloomberg is trying to ban sodas larger than 16 ounces. How do you feel about Little Brother Bloomberg banning sodas while pushing medical marijuana? They want to ban smoking, fast food, and now soda. Why did they ban these things when, in fact, it's your free right to eat anything you wish? It's your body, isn't it? Didn't the women's movement teach us, my body, our selves?
Our bodies, ourselves, we're going to abort a fetus and throw it in a toilet bowl. That's all right. All power to the woman. Our bodies, ourselves.
So if it's our bodies, ourselves, you want to smoke, eat fast food, and drink soda, it's your business, right? Where does this little Hitler get the idea he can tell you not to drink a soda? Don't you understand what they're doing here? Marijuana is fine. Marijuana is good for you. See the conspiracy or not? All right, what's the point of me getting excited? What do I care about all these things? I should care about these things? You should care about them. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? I can't control these maniacs, these fakers like Bloomberg, Obama, Bush. They're all the same. It's power madness. It's a power madness. That's the story. Prescott, Arizona. Stephen, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Michael, I listen to you every day. I do my back exercises. I use you for my exercise guru, and you just make me keep going. And with your philosophy and your wisdom, and
But wait, I just said that a new study came out that said that for some exercise may increase heart risk. So, you know, if you're exercising to my energy, don't blame me if something happens.
Well, I don't. If anything will happen, it'll be to the positive. It won't be to the negative. Anything that I develop for exercising and listening to you will be a positive factor. And my little dog, Hannah, she's 13 pounds. She's the first dog I ever had, over 60 years old. And she's my baby. She goes every place with me. When I hear you talk
about that. Why do so many big men like little dogs? I'm the only one who knows the answer why that trend has emerged.
Well, for her, I can carry her around if she gets tired. If she goes someplace I don't want her to be, I can pick her up and carry her.
Well, hold it. That's the pragmatic answer, but it's because men don't have the kindness and the warmth that they used to have from women. Women are like the Real Housewives of fill in the blank of the next woman who looks like a post-op transvestite, which is supposed to be an image of a woman. They all look like post-op transvestites. They don't look like women. Men don't know which way to turn for kindness and warmth. They don't have babies. They don't have grandchildren anymore. The women are aggressive, so they turn to small animals because they can be kind to them. Men have a kindness in them, and there's no way to express it in this demented, sick society anymore. It's one man's opinion. You know I'm right. Intuitively, the minute I said it, you said, holy God, I never thought of that. Who is this guy? Why, he's the Lone Ranger.
Set.
Hold me close, hold me tight.
Oh, God.
Make me thrill with delight. Let me know where I stand.
The song is dedicated to Chris Matthews, who gets a thrill up his leg every time he looks at Obama.
You, I need you. I love you.
Low life hack. Low life, low intelligence hack.
Every time.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Let me ask you a question here. What's the day of the week? It's Thursday, right? I'm doing a good show. I gave you like 15 topics. My voice is good. I'm a little dizzy, of course. And the caller base is very low right now. Normally it's jammed out. The entire Telos board is like, What's going on? Where is everybody? Are they on vacation? Are they not interested in politics? Do they want me to crucify myself on air? Perhaps drink a glass of strychnine laced water in order to choke on the air? Would that get your attention? What is it the audiences want anymore? You don't want anything about politics. You don't want anything about health. Nothing. I think people have something's wrong in America. I think the drugs have destroyed America. I think the marijuana. I think Prozac. I think that the antidepressant medication has turned this into a nation of zombies. How many of our politicians are on drugs? You wouldn't know. You should know. If you go for a job, chances are you have to take a drug test, as you should, especially if you operate heavy machinery. But what if you operate the heavy machinery of politics? How many of our congressmen and senators and those in other branches of government are on medication? Shouldn't you know? Shouldn't the people demand that they be drug tested? Wouldn't you want to know if you have a drug addict in any level of government? I would. I'd like to know how many of our so-called leaders are drugged. They all look drugged to me. 90% of them look like they're on some kind of medication, either a sedation or antidepressive drug, because it doesn't make sense that they would let this country slip like it's slipping and let this communist get away with what he's getting away with. That's all I can say to you. I don't know how else to put it to you. In plain sight, everything the man does, he signals, I am a radical left-wing socialist, and I'm going to do what I want. And you don't hear anything. Today, Bush goes there. He's his best friend. Stupid, tepid jokes of the kind you would have heard in the fifth grade from Mrs. Smith as she gives out roses to the teacher who did the drama event. All right, I'll move on. You don't care. I don't know. Nobody cares about anything. What do you want to tell you about the dinner last night? Is all you want to hear?
Oh, Mike, what was the dinner like in Beverly Hills? What actors were you with, Mike? Was it exciting?
I'll tell you the dinner at Beverly Hills. That's all. A piece of it anyway, because some want anonymity, some don't care. So I'm having dinner. As you know, I mean, I can mention Robert Davi. I love the guy. He's the villain in so many movies, 200 movies. He and I hit it off the minute we met. For a million different reasons. He's from Astoria. I'm from Jamaica, Queens. So maybe there's a commonality in worldview. I think it's more than that. I just love the guy's, you know, persona. He's just a heavy guy who's also very funny and very friendly guy. So I don't know how we're having dinner. About an hour into the dinner, there's a table of eight of us. We start talking about voices and how to, you know, like, what do you do to keep your voice good? And I say, well, I use a certain spray. Echinacea Golden Seal Propolis, and I give him the brand. I'm not going to tell you because I don't want to promote him. I said, it saved me from maybe 200 sore throats over the last 10 years, and everyone in my family uses it. I love it. He said, wow. I said, what are you using? I use voice exercise. He said, because I started to complain that my voice was going from the dinner. That's why I don't socialize. He's got to talk, and it gets loud. You know what I mean? So I felt my voice was getting raw. So he said, well, I can show you voice exercise. Now, this is in the middle of a packed restaurant in Beverly Hills. He starts making sounds like, ugh. You got to lower your larynx. And he's going, ugh. And now the restaurant starts looking at him. I'm laughing. And he's going, he's closing his lips, pursing him, and going, ugh. And real loud. I mean, he's bellowing. He's a big guy over 6'2". He weighs like 210, 220. He's going, ugh. And he's getting louder, and all the tables are looking, all of the so-called she-she people, like, who is that guy? What's he doing? Who do they think they are? And then it gets louder. He says, I'll show you another exercise. Then he starts making a different sound. Muh, muh, muh. So what can I say? We were like kids having a good time in a restaurant. What do you think? We were solving the problems of the world? We were, and we were having a good time. That's all. Now, without mentioning names, I'm going to show you how people are. Some people are, there's another guy. I mean, I love this guy. I don't know if I can mention his name. I'll hint. He was an ex-NFL football star. He was the star of a major network TV series for years. Big guy, enormous hands. Great guy, big fan of mine. So he was there. He's doing a drag racing movie, so we talked about cars for a while because he and I love cars. And I said, so you grew up in L.A.? Yeah, Southern California. I was the kid at the race. Bonneville Salt Flats? Yes. Name the drag strip in L.A. I mean, this goes back to James Dean, you know, era. So we got into the car thing in the middle, blah, blah, blah. He was fun. Then a guy comes. I'm not going to mention who. He shows up an hour and a half late. He has the yitzes to show up an hour and a half late, sits down after we're through eating and orders the most expensive dish on the menu, like a $65 plate, and then adds lobster to it. You hear this? Unbelievable. I won't even mention his name. I'll never tell you. I would never tell you who it is. But I tell you, he's never coming to a dinner again. Never. You see, people say, what are you getting mad at for? I'm very sensitive to that kind of thing. I am very sensitized to people's behavior. I shouldn't be. I know that. I should have outgrown it a long time ago. But I don't know. Certain things I can't tell you. They grate me. So now, where are we now? People are self-medicating, not fair people. Here we go. Got a Jew hater. Maybe I should take the Jew hater if we get a little show going here. Coming out of the coal area, Slavic area, Pittsburgh, PA, not fair people, can't criticize it. All right, let's take the Jew hater. Hi, John. Welcome to the Savage Nation from Pittsburgh, PA. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just wondering, why do you think Jewish people are so sensitive to any type of criticism? Any type of criticism, they turn it into anti-Semitism. Are Jewish people that sensitive? I mean, you just mentioned...
I don't know. How would I know? I don't know. Which Jewish people are you referring to?
All Jewish people.
Every Jewish person is sensitive, and no other person is sensitive?
No, they're sensitive to... No.
Well, John, let me ask you, what country of origin did your folks come from?
People take criticism...
John, this is a radio show with a dialogue. What country of origin did your folks come from?
I was born in Peru.
And so if people criticize the Incas and Peruvians, would you be sensitive to it?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm not Incan, and I'm not... I'm here.
So in other words, you have no cultural pride. You have no sense of self-respect for your ancestry is why.
I didn't say that.
In other words, you're a Heinz 57 with no self-respect. If you had self-respect, if people put down Incas and called them savages in the negative sense, you should get offended, but you don't because you have no self-respect. So what do you want from Jews who have... Know it. I knew you were a hater. I knew you're not from Peru. I know who you are. I know who you are, John. I know where you live, John. I know your zip code, your area code. I know your bra size. I know your wig size, John.
Bra size.
John, I know everything about you, John. We know you. We know who you are, John. You're a Jew hater. You're an anti-Semite, but we know who you are. The FBI has your zip code, your area code, your brassiere size, and your hair size.
Why are you so...
Why don't you crawl back? Why don't you go gargle with Rogaine? How's that? Goggle with Rogaine and grow a wig on your larynx so the world never has to hear from you again, you little Hitler, you. 1-800-449-8255. He's from Peru. He's from Peru. Yeah, he's from Peru. Now you'll get callers. Now they're here. They woke up. What was that? Who was that, Mike? Now we'll get it. New York, W.R. Israel. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Savage, you are so right about the medicated, and I'm telling you.
Hold on. Israel, turn off your radio. We're getting feedback.
Oh, okay, sir.
That's how it works. That's Joe and Paul Afaginigan. Joe and Paul. Did you turn it off already? Joe and Paul Afaginai. What's on your mind today, Israel?
I was saying that you are so right about these people being over-medicated and with the marijuana. And
absolutely. Bloomberg wants to ban sodas, and he tells you medical marijuana is good for you.
Well, I mean,
why is little brother, what's his business whether you drink a soda? What does little brother, the billionaire, care whether you have a soda and a hamburger? Who gave him the authority?
Well, I mean, if they're willing to give up their privacy on Facebook, they're willing to do anything.
Now you're right. That's right. We have a generation of people without any self-respect. They don't even know what it is. You look at some porn sites. I don't know if you do. You have people exhibiting their sex act to the public in order to have exhibitionism. Do you know that?
Yes.
Ordinary people are showing themselves having sex on some of these amateur sites. What does that tell you about a debased society?
It's terrible. Even my,
I don't want to hear the details. Sorry. Over a certain waist size, I'm not interested in that particular activity. One. I don't know what I'm my hearing is off by, you know, like you're on an airplane. Oh, I can't hear you. I've done it all. Nothing's working. I took a Benadryl. Maybe it's serious. Maybe it's an illness like mumps or something. My hearing went first. Then I'm dizzy. I thought it was an allergic response. Who knows? I don't. Maybe I got some killer like disease in the Italian restaurant from the shrimp. I didn't mean to eat it, but he put it out. What can I do? You see a shrimp with the legs and the feelers on it. It's fried. I shouldn't have done it. I don't like the crustaceans. They're not clean. And really, I mean, in that sense, the kosher food law is right. Don't eat that treif, that garbage from the bottom of the sea. It lives on fecal matter in the ocean, all of these shellfish. I know guys who don't even follow, like, religion, and they won't eat shellfish nor pork. Pork, I don't understand why. It's leaner than beef. Like, I don't know, like a lot of food things make no sense at all. You probably do better off with roast pork on garlic bread than a soybean sandwich if you have arthritis. You have to really study these things to know what I'm talking about. Are you feeling better now, the audience? I feel like maybe a little life out there, a little juice. We got one Jew hater. Let's see. We got a Jew hater. We got a Jew lover. We got an Obama lover, an Obama hater. We got a Bush lover, a Bush hater. What could be better? The show's moving right along. I'll be right back.
Savage.
left me when I found a new place.
So my hearing sounds like an echo chamber.
At the end of Lone Street, that heartbreak hotel
that stinks. This record would never sell today. See, this is the interesting thing about style and everything changes. Elvis couldn't make it today. Too slow. Remember how pudgy he got toward the end? Awful. He had a good run. Cadillacs, the Entourage. All right, it's enough already. Oh, it's enough already. It's enough. So a friend of mine just emails me. He says, your symptoms are, let's see, 50% hearing loss. You're dizzy. You took a Benadryl. He says, have you ruled out a stroke? That's nice. In the middle of a show. Not common symptoms, but not off the table entirely. Please let me know if you have at least considered this and ruled it out. I don't know. If I had a stroke, how would I know? I could have had a stroke. You don't know. There are minor strokes. Major strokes. Different strokes for different folks. I mean, whatever. How about different strokes for different folks? Is that what they meant? Holy God. So it was really against old people? When they said different strokes for different folks, were they mocking people who had a stroke? Bloomberg would have you arrested if you ever said different strokes for different folks right now. You'd be considered strokist. Virginia Robert, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I heard you call the call, and I called, so I wanted to call. I was on vacation in the Grand Caymans last week, and I tried to find your book, Trickle Down Tyranny.
Yes.
At a bookstore called Books and Books, and it was sold out.
Well, it would figure that my book would sell out in the Cayman Islands where everybody goes to hide their money. Of course that would make sense.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, the native Cayman Island residents and the foreign workers that work there, they cannot stand Obama. That they don't like him. That he's a spender and he's a job killer.
Most people who know what's going on know that everything you just said is true. I personally believe if the election were held today, he'd lose by about 30 points. I believe the only reason we're thinking it's that close is because of the vermin in the media.
Hey, even the Cuban American lady who works at the T-shirt.
Whatever. Okay, I hear you. Let me send you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. Staying alive. I haven't given one away yet. I should. It's a great book. Still out there in the bookstore. And, by the way, the paperback of Abuse of Power is out. Which, by the way, for you Abuse of Power fans, you want to hear something interesting, my novel? The paperback has the first chapter of my sequel where Jack Hatfield's next mission occurs. So you have an excuse now to buy the paperback if you bought the hardcover, if you want to get a secret. It's a secret peek into what's doing. And the villains in the next book are not the Islamists. We took care of them in this book. The Hand of Allah got it from Jack. In the next book, the villains are a little different. They're your friends that Henry Kissinger and Madeleine Albright work for. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. What's on your mind? Anything is fair game. Anything is fair game. I don't know. People not calling about Bloomberg. New York City, WOR, line 10. Mr. B, what's on your mind?
Well, it's easier to talk about the drinks rather than to talk about the rampant welfare fraud.
You mean Bloomberg is saying we're going to crack down on the obesity epidemic instead of talking about the grotesque spending epidemic he's engaged in?
It's amazing. I've never seen anything like this. This is exactly as you say, Dr. Savage. They're softening us up. They're letting us know who's boss by tweaking our nose. You said this in Trickle Down.
Where does this little dictator, this little brother, Bloomberg, get the nerve to say, I'm going to prohibit you from buying a 16-ounce soda? Where did he get the audacity to think that he has the right to do that, number one, and that the people will go along with him, number two?
His green pals, all the green liberals that live on the Upper East Side.
Yeah, green my eye. The only green they understand is the schmear green from Obama. The green machine, that's the only green they understand. All the graft and the corruption coming out of the Obama machine, that's the only green they understand. Green my eye. Green. Green, green, green. Green grow, the rushes grow. Green. Don't get me started. I don't want to get mad here. I don't want to lose my temper because there's no point to it. But the audacity of a little brother here in New York to think, oh, no fat, no sugar, no salt, no soda. Now, first of all, I modify my diet. I don't eat a lot of fat. I don't eat any sugar. I try to limit salt, and I don't drink soda. But that's my business. If you want to go to McDonald's and you want to eat a double cheeseburger with French fries and a soda, God bless you. It's your business. It's your body. And I'll tell you something else, by the way. As an observer of real life as opposed to that billionaire fraud, Bloomberg, let me tell you what real life is all about. The poorest people, the laborers, love fast food because it gives them energy for a low amount of money. You could buy a couple of burgers, you could buy a soda and fries, and you have enough fuel and calories and fat to work all day, Bloomberg, as opposed to sitting in an office, you know, with your sniffing there, sniffing around like you're so superior, eating your light little tuna salad, your niçoise. They can't eat your diet because they actually work for a living. They don't just move papers around and do emails. They need the calories. They need the fat. They need the sugar and they need the salt in order to perform the manual work that you require of them. You understand that, Michael? Has anyone ever given you reality, Michael Bloomberg? Have you seen what poor people eat and why they eat it, Michael? It's unbelievable to me. I'm a lucky guy because I actually go into fast food places once in a while. Not so much because I'm doing a sociological experiment. It's because I eat there occasionally. I like chicken, the grilled chicken. I like it. The dog likes the small hamburger, the junior burger, no salt or pepper. And it's nice to let your hair down instead of the pasta palaces. You know what I'm saying? But the point is, it's my business. Who are you to tell me what to eat? Where did that evolve? Where did it evolve, this nanny society? How? And at the same time, they're telling you to use medical marijuana or you're weak and you're sick. See a doctor. Take medication. You're weak. Oh, stay home. You don't understand that it's how they destroyed China a long time ago. This is how the British destroyed China with opium. This is exactly what these people are doing to America. And it took the Boxer Revolution in China to throw out the drug dealers. That is when China liberated itself from the drug dealers, when the martial artists kicked them out of China.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
New Yorkers will be flocking to Coney Island to soak up some sun and surf and swim and try out the spine-chilling ride. So let me make it official. All of the city's 14 miles of free public beaches will be open for the season this Saturday.
Explain how you think this would work and counteract the criticism that this is the nanny state run amok.
Well, the way it would work is simply those organizations, those industries that we regulate, which are restaurants and movie theaters and carts, they can still sell 32 ounces of a sugar drink to you, but they'd have to put it in two containers. And the idea here is you tend to eat all the food in the container in front of you. If it's a bigger container, you'll eat more. If somebody put a smaller glass or plate or bowl in front of you, you would eat less.
Well, that's good. Put a little mouse food in front of your little peons who voted for you, Bloomberg. Michael, what world do you live in? Michael, this proves that billionaires can be very dumb. Michael Bloomberg, this is Michael Savage talking to you. When have you last gone into a fast food restaurant, Michael, and seen what poor people eat? Those are the people who clean your toilets. Those are the people who work in your restaurants. Those are the gardeners. Those are the garbage men. They need fast food, Michael, because it's inexpensive and it gives them a lot of energy. Do you understand it? They can't afford to eat the way you eat, Michael, nor do they want to eat the way you do, nor do they want to be you, nor do they have the mania to control people the way you do. Ordinary people like to be left alone, Bloomberg. And frankly, if an election were held today in New York, you'd lose by a landslide. to virtually anybody, including the garbage man, because you've exceeded their worst nightmare, not of the nanny state, but of little brother watching over you. Now, there's no point in talking about this anymore, but here's another example of another fraud, by the way, a so-called Republican, Bloomberg, who is identical to the so-called Democrats, when in fact they are all something different than both of those things. Why do they want to control you? You can't eat salt, you can't eat fat, you can't eat sugar, you can't eat not too much soda. But take that medication. Take that medication and tell your little child to take that Ritalin. Full boy, he's a Bloomberg boy. The kind of boy that's easily controlled in school from the first grade onward, so that by the time he is in college, he is a perfectly manicured, perfectly rendered edition of the useless no man. That's right. And then, of course, put your daughter on medical marijuana because another whack job friend of Bloomberg told you it's actually good for you. That's the way it works. Ban sugar, push them onto drugs. Don't you understand what this is? What's going on in this country? You don't see a combination here, a 1-2 punch? Banning the things that you want and encourage you to use toxic drugs, whether they be medication or toxins such as marijuana. You don't understand how this works and why the government is in a conspiracy to push you in these directions. I do. And remember, in 1982, I wrote a book called The Skeptical Nutritionist that was published by Macmillan. It's actually one of my best books. It was 30 years ahead of its time. And the first chapter was warning America about food fascism, a phrase I coined. Another phrase I coined, stolen from me by many others. I warned America in 1981 when that book was published, The Skeptical Nutritionist, which you can't find anymore, that food fascism was basically taking control in this country back in 81. And then I talked about the famous image of Adolf Hitler passed out after eating a big creamy dessert, a big rich cheesecake for dessert. And what was that all about? Hitler was a food fascist. Hitler was a vegetarian. Hitler was against alcohol. He didn't drink alcohol. Hitler didn't eat animal foods because he felt bad for the animals. But Hitler had no problem, according to his aides, in getting movies of those being tortured to death under his command in a torture chamber. But he couldn't stand the idea of an animal being hurt. Does it sound familiar to you? Does it all make sense to you? Do you understand that it doesn't matter what form it comes in? That fascism could come in the form of a liberal, a Democrat, a nice person, a little person, a big person. They don't all have to walk around with a swastika on their arm. Don't you understand this yet? All right. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. I can only do so much. But where does this little man get the audacity to tell people they can't drink a soda? This is the same man who tried to push the victory mosque down the throats of America. And he was saying that you're a racist if you oppose the mosque. Where does he come up with these things? Michael Bloomberg, you're just a man. At the end of the day, you have to drop your shorts and go to the toilet like everybody else, Michael. And we know that, Michael. So don't act like you're a god. Michael, have your driver take you to a fast food restaurant in Harlem, Michael, and see what poor people eat. Go to an area where the Hispanic workers eat, Michael, and you see what they have to eat to clean the toilets of your restaurants and to cook in your restaurants and to schlep the dishes in your restaurants. They can't eat a refined diet, Michael. They need to eat a very heavy, high-calorie, high-salt, high-sugar diet, Michael, to get through a day. They don't just sit around in an office writing emails and making phone calls. That's my opinion. Charlie in New York, do you agree or disagree with me? You're calling from New York on WOR. What do you feel about my anger towards Bloomberg with this stupidity about soda limitation?
Dr. Savage, I agree 100%. Bloomberg has actually done other things in this city. He has instituted new bike lanes all over the city that have closed off half of the avenues. As bad as traffic used to be, the congestion has become a complete nightmare.
So what is it about liberals that make them so, let's say, ignorant of the real world?
I try to ask myself the same question.
There's only one answer, by the way. You see how you were stumped? Because there's actually no answer to these questions. And I coined the phrase liberalism is a mental disorder about four books ago. it actually answers that, those questions for which there is no answer. When you ask yourself, why would an ordinarily intelligent man like Michael Bloomberg do such things, and you come up with no answer, the answer is liberalism is a mental disorder.
Absolutely.
That's all. I have no other answer. I rest my case, ladies and gentlemen, of the Savage Jury. New York, Bill, WOR again. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think that this left-wing mayor is trying to get on the good side of Obama. Maybe he would be asked to be the vice presidential candidate.
Wow. Oh, I see. If he can out-liberal Obama.
No, I'm certain that Biden is going to be replaced because he has a mouth disease. He's putting his foot in it all the time.
And yeah, I think he has foot and mouth disease, Biden. No, Biden has definitely burned out his position. He's of no value to he was no advantage to Obama, Biden. He was sort of like he was stuck with him. He did nothing, basically. Nothing.
Small state of Delaware. Who's from there?
Bloomberg could bring a lot of money to the picture, right? Is that it?
Well, he'd bring a lot of money. He's also very liberal, and it might give him some stature because he was the mayor of New York City, the biggest city in the country. I mean, he's going to win.
So, in other words, the way he gets the attention of the left-wing power structure is by being more, let's say, draconian to the left than they are.
Yeah, well, right now he's got a choice to make. Biden definitely doesn't do him any good, and I thought it was going to be Hillary because that would put her in position to run in 2016. And
yes.
He doesn't have to worry about Bill Clinton because he himself has been president now for 4 years. I understood that he didn't want Hillary four years.
Well, Bill Clinton has too much baggage to ever run again with the hookers, the hooker picture in Cannes and all or wherever it was. Bill Clinton could never run and win again anywhere. But the fact is Hillary is a viable entity, and I thought she would make a fabulous vice presidential candidate for the wrong reasons, by the way. I detest her, frankly. I fear her. She's like Madame Defarge. But the fact is... she'd be a good pick for Obama, certainly better than Bloomberg.
Well, I think so, and he doesn't have to worry about Clinton. I think I had heard that he didn't pick Hillary 4 years ago because he was afraid that if he was elected and she was the vice president, that Bill Clinton would be sticking his nose in everything he did, which he probably would have.
Well, remember who's really running the show. It's Valerie Jarrett. According to insiders, it's not Obama, it's not Michelle, it's not the mother-in-law. It's Valerie Jarrett is running this country and running the world. One woman is running the world, and I can guarantee you, knowing women and powerful women, it's Valerie Jarrett who will never let Hillary be selected as VP candidate.
Well, there you have it.
See, I'm giving you one man's opinion. How would I know? I mean, I'm not Bill O'Reilly. I don't get invited to the White House. That's a two-edger. Thank you for the call. No book. I should have given the man a book. I can't think right now because the dizzy... I'm going home tonight. I'm flying with it. I can be like, the guy says to me, you're dizzy. Your hearing's gone. Maybe I had a stroke. I don't know. I took the Benadryl. Nothing. No change. Still dizzy. Still can't hear. Home now on an airplane to that seat. Look at an image like that, right? Like, I'm going to. That was an interesting movie. Remember how you felt bad for him? He died. Ratso Rizzo. That was Dustin Hoffman's true inner man, Ratso Rizzo. So I failed in that HBO documentary trying to be a gangster. How could a guy that short? It's not that short. He has no, he waddled. Let me put it to you that way. There are short men who are very mean and tough, and they're frightening. I mean, I've met short guys who are really frightening. Go screw around with a little guy from Guatemala and see what happens to you. But Dustin Hoffman, I'm sorry, isn't in that category, especially when they did a full frontal on him. He waddled. The worst shots of Dustin Hoffman were from the rear. In the suit, when he walked away, he waddled away. How could you think Ace was a tough guy, a waddler? Like a bowling pin, like an imbalanced bowling pin. No laughter. It's like a real audience. I need a real audience. The actor said that to me. Do you ever want to do a show with an audience in the room, like 10 guys? 6 guys sitting around having a cappuccino, a macchiato, an espresso? A cigarette outside, laughing at your jokes, digging you. I said, yeah, it'd be fun. I don't do it. I work alone. It's me and a dog. They said, how do you do this? These are top-of-the-flight actors who are doing it all. They said to me, how do you do a radio show without anyone giving you any support? I said, how? I'll be right back.
Savage. Coney Island summer visitors are also going to be greeted by a range of new and expanded restaurants and stores. New restaurants include Coney Island branches of such familiar and beloved Brooklyn names such as Grimaldi's and Tom's Restaurant. And they're joining at Coney Island institutions that have been revamped and expanded during, including Paul's Daughter, Ruby's, Lola Star, Brooklyn Beach Shop, and a personal favorite that has now gotten an even bigger presence right here on the boardwalk, Nathan's Famous.
Banned soda but push hot dogs. A genius. A genius. On the airplane. Dead in the seat. How much can you take of this? How much can you take of these hypocritical losers? Why, because he's rich, I'm supposed to look up to him? Some more guys are like a mudia. I mean, the guy's a nut. The guy's a nut. One day gives a speech banning soda. The next day, I'll eat hot dogs from Nathan's. Now, which side of him do you want to believe? How much can a man take of this insanity called politicians? What are they all, on medication? Are they all stoners or what? The man bans soda with one hand and says eat hot dogs with the other. Who cares? No one cares about anything. I think everyone's on vacation, frankly. Play the Midnight Cowboy theme again. I like it. I really loved it. I haven't heard it in years. Years and years, like Short Line. The Greyhound bus to Miami. Sweaty. Chicken bones. Bring back a whole. I think I'll just do Memory Lane. Just play it for a minute. I'll do a bus story.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words saying.
Right, like when you're dying, everyone's talking. So you sit here in a room alone. It's like this is the worst nightmare you could ever imagine. No one's here. What? I'm not asking for your sympathy. You're not going to give it anyway. Guy says to me the other day, "How you doing, Mike? I haven't seen you in a while." I said, "What's the point of saying anything? You don't care anyway." You're right, no one listens and no one cares. You hear, that's the conversation in America between men. How you doing, Mike? How have things been? What's the point of me answering? You don't care anyway. You're right, no one listens and no one cares. That's what men are saying to each other today after these years of these political animals and the drug addiction and the popular media and junk food plus pollen plus calendula pollen. Turn it off. I don't know. What was I going to tell you? Oh, the bus thing. So I'll tell you one bus story since I have a few minutes here till I almost get a stroke with 2 minutes left in this segment. What a show. I mean, you don't get a chance to develop an idea. I could use 30 minutes now to develop an idea. As dizzy as I am, I could develop an idea. Can't. I'm in at 54. I'm in at 53. I'm in at 51. I'm in at 50. I'm watching the 148. I can't even get started telling you. So anyway, we once took a bus to Miami when I was poor, Queens College. I couldn't even afford to fly there. So I think I went alone or with a friend. We took a bus, the Greyhound bus, to Miami for spring break. Shows your bus, could you imagine? And it was so awful. It was beyond belief. The poor people were eating like chicken on the bus and throwing the bones into the aisle. You know what kind of hero you have to be to use a toilet on a bus? Do you have any idea? I mean, I would never use it. I would rather wait 2 days than ever go into that thing. I could never even imagine what went on in there. I once went in a Port Authority before leaving into a toilet on a Greyhound bus. Do you know what was? It was a nightmare. You have to be some hero to be able to use a toilet on a bus. That's all I can say to you. A nightmare. So we get into Atlanta late at night, and I always wanted to try. My mother made, God rest her soul, made a Southern Fried Chicken. It was pretty good. So I wanted to eat real Southern Fried Chicken. So I go into this bus terminal. Can you imagine how naive I was as a kid? I'm going to eat real Southern Fried Chicken, I think, in a bus terminal in Atlanta at like 2 in the morning. It was excellent. It was astounding. To this day, I can never find fried chicken that was as good. It must have been dipped in some kind of special Southern lard. You know what I'm saying? Stuff that Michael Bloomberg would have you arrested if he actually saw you eating it. They must have dipped it in some trick Georgian lard and double fried it, something that would kill a New York liberal. Not only kill them if they saw you eating it, but if they actually took a bite, they would die on the spot. It was so good. It was amazing. Then we went on to Miami, and I got into the hotel room, and the midget tried to steal my money. That's another story I told you about. The midget stealing my money in the Miami hotel room, the bed bugs.
Savage. We'll be right back.
There will be new games and amusements on Jones Walk. Dino's Wonder Wheel Amusement Park has been spruced up, and a longtime favorite, the Cyclone Roller Coaster, has been refurbished to give thrill seekers a
People
fast, smooth ride.
Have too much of a thrill.
Last summer, more than 640,000 visitors took more than 2 million rides
right there
at the Scream Zone and at neighboring Luna Park. And this season promises
this. I'm sorry. I can't take it anymore. Why don't they just ban the amusement zone? They ought to ban the rides that thrill people, because the government might get frightened that you're enjoying yourself for free. You know what I'm saying? It's a little. You go on a ride, you get excited. You don't get a thrill up your leg by watching Obama, but you enjoy going on the roller coaster. That's like unpatriotic. Sacramento, California. Dane, welcome to the Savage Nation, Dane.
Yeah, Mike, I tell you, I feel your pain today, buddy. You know, we sit around at work, the guys, and talk, and nobody cares about nothing. You know, we all sit there and say, you know, we're just a bunch of little hamsters on a wheel. And that's how we feel these days.
So, in other words, wait a minute. You're saying there's a pervading sense amongst white males generally, or is this a mixed-race group of guys?
We're all white males, you know.
Yeah, so you feel beaten up by Obama and by the government in general? Is that it, that no one looks out for you?
The conversation every day is brought up about how we feel as white male individuals, some of us single, some of us divorced, and we all say the same thing. We're all feeling the same thing. We feel the same sense of that all the time, and it's felt out there, believe me.
There's no question there's a war against the Christian white male in this country. I'll lay it right on the line. I know exactly what's going on. There is no question there is a steady stream of invective and hatred toward one race, one sex, and one religion only. And it comes at you like a fire hose wherever you turn. I know it. I understand it. I mean, I understand it. And the object here is to beat you down to the point where you have apathy. Just like you said, to beat you down to the point where you don't even go and vote so that the communist gets in again. Thanks for the call. If you could say thanks for a call like that. New York, WOR, Chris, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, I really enjoy the show for two reasons. First, you make me laugh every night, and where we're living right now and what's going on, it's great to hear you. And
well, it's not funny, though. I mean, I'm trying not to be funny about it. I mean, it's a sarcasm, which is a little different than generic humor. You know, sarcasm is the least understood art form in the American world of comedy.
Yeah, well, 3 weeks ago.
And it's an interesting question because very few people could actually do sarcasm. Sarcasm is very difficult to do as a humor. There, it's an interesting discussion. I actually once did a speech, the Freedom of Speech Award, when I was banned from England. And the point was, is that sarcasm is a long and well-established form of humor that is hardly ever used in comedy today because it's very difficult to write, very difficult to pull off. It requires a certain degree of intelligence to do. I mean, if you're Jon Stewart, it's not sarcasm. You're reading stale jokes written for you by people dumber than you are. That's how it works. Like when the writers went on strike, that dummy Jon Stewart couldn't work, remember? Do you remember what I'm saying to you? When the actual writers went on strike, the comedy writers, dummies like Jon Stewart, who are nothing but bootlickers for Obama, could not work. They couldn't perform. No one writes my stuff. I make it up as I go along. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's very good. Sometimes it's great. It's never bad. Never. That's how good I am. I'm the Babe Ruth of talk radio. I mean, the lowest I ever do is hit singles. I never hit below a single. A lot of times I bang them out of the park. I'm a natural. I am. I mean, I enjoy it. But the fact of the matter is, it's a very, very difficult time to do politics because of the invidious nature of the hatred for the independent mind is overwhelming. And the contempt for the little guy has never been at such a high level. And the fact that not one major politician actually connects with the little guy is amazing to me. There were times in American history we always had elitists who ran things. But then you had a mayor come along like a Fiorello LaGuardia. I wasn't around at the time, but I remember my parents, long after LaGuardia was dead, they would glow about LaGuardia. And they would tell me as a little kid what a great man he was because he talked to the little guy, the average worker. They loved him. Are you telling me Bloomberg connects the same way with the average person in New York City? No, of course not. Do you tell me Obama, who plays that act, cares about the little guy? They know he doesn't talk for them. They know who he is. They know he comes from an extremely elite background, put in power by the forces that control the world, that the whole thing is sort of like the shadows on the wall. They get it. But no one speaks to them, and no one speaks for them. And then occasionally you have some talk show hosts who seem to resonate with the, quote, little guy. And they listen to us because they, at least they hear some of their feelings expressed. Otherwise, they go crazy altogether. We're actually the greatest safety valve in the United States. I'd be thousands of people going crazy if it wasn't for guys like me. The government ought to pay me to do what I do, but they don't. So I'm just leveling with you. I'm on Benadryl. I haven't said anything that was illegal so far. Have I, Beowulf? Have I said anything illegal on the show? Of course I'm okay. I asked him anyway, not you. The best thing today, the best sound today was Bloomberg with the soda. And here he is again, the bumbler in clip one. Let's see the bumbler again in clip one.
I am pleased that my portrait brings an interesting symmetry to the White House collection.
Titter, titter. Okay, stop. Now, see the tittering? Now, what are they tittering for? Listen to what I just said. Here's George Bush unveiling his portrait at the White House. The president, he's allowed to do that. So he says, I'm pleased that my portrait brings some interesting symmetry to the White House collection. It's a statement. Where was the tittering coming from? Why did they laugh? Was there anything funny in that? No, but they were told to laugh. The sycophants who worked for him, the sycophants in the government, gave a titter. They were told, titter now. Give a little titter. Not a real laugh, because then we'll know that it's staged, so give a little titter. Then it goes on. And more titter, double titter, triple titter, laughter. The whole thing's staged. Capricorn 1. Everything's Capricorn 1. The whole country is Capricorn 1. Here's one, Laura Bush. Allegedly, here was the first lady who was into libraries. That was her thing. Like Michelle is allegedly into health food, the Lord of the Fries. Michelle Obama is known as the Lord of the Fries in the Savage Nation. That's what she really eats. And yet, oh, she's the first lady who pushed healthy food. Oh, really? I'll buy that the way I bought Laura Bush was into books. Here I wrote one best-selling conservative nonfiction book after another while they were in office. She never even referenced them. So listen to her now in clip five.
This is not the first time I've had the opportunity to confront an artistic likeness of myself. A few years ago, just after the 2008 election, a friend sent me something he'd found in the gift shop of the National Constitutional Center in Philadelphia. It was a Laura Bush bobblehead doll.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. You don't know which way to turn. Remember those years, the Bush years? The Malapros? I mean, it was unbelievable. The illiteracy, the bumbling, the breaking of sentences he couldn't fit. Thank God, but they're back again. And now they're good friends with the Obamas. Great friends. And the soda limit, it's like a madhouse. You know, if you look at the pastiche of what I'm looking at here, Bush and Laura Bush unveiling their portraits, all right. Then you see Bloomberg saying you can't have soda. He's going to limit your soda. Then Bloomberg saying you should eat hot dogs, even though you shouldn't have soda. You can go insane from it. There's almost no way to, like, figure this out. Now, here's Eric Holder, the alleged top cop in the United States of America, putting out the big lie at the Congressional Black Caucus Summit that civil rights hang in the balance. Why? Because people like myself do not want non-citizens to vote. We don't want non-registered people to vote, and we don't want people from Brooklyn and Queens voting three times. So here is now Eric Holder in clip 14.
As you know, this is no time to become complacent. Right. Yes, we have walked far on the long road toward freedom.
Oh, yeah, right. We shall overcome, right. You're really suffering. Black president, black attorney general, and you're suffering. How much of this rubbish can anyone take anymore? Don't you understand how this works? There's never enough. Now, here's clip 18 now. Listen to this one.
Congressman John Lewis, the voting rights that he worked throughout his life and nearly gave his life to ensure, and I quote him, are under attack by a deliberate and
liar.
Systematic...
You're a liar! Stop it! Liar! It's communism! It's Stalinism! There is no attack. The people don't want illegal aliens to vote. We don't want non-registered voters. We don't want dead people to vote. We don't want people from Queens voting in Queens and in Boca Raton. Nothing's under attack except the scam called the Democrat voter machine. So now they're like, we have to fight the racists and the fascists who are trying to snuff out voting rights. Yeah, right. It's very difficult to listen to this. Green Bay, Wisconsin. Brad, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I was just calling. There is a fine line between cynicism and sarcasm. And
you are right. You're right, and you're a man who knows the difference. Sarcasm, satire, cynicism, they're not the same.
No, not in the long shot. Anybody can be cynical, and anybody can be satirical. I mean, that's Jon Stewart. But when it comes to sarcasm, if it doesn't flow naturally, it's not sarcasm.
Yes, and I would say that my specialty would probably be defined as sarcastic humor, wouldn't you say?
Well, I definitely agree there.
Now, it's a very interesting topic, and it's worthy of discussion at length at another time, and I've written about it years ago. I never even focused on it to any extent. But let's take the snotty little hosts at MSNBC. They confuse snottiness with all three of the art forms you just mentioned. They talk like a bunch of chicks in a college dormitory. Every statement out of their mouth is presented in a way that it's just snotty. That's not sarcastic. It is not satirical. It's not even cynical. It's simply snotty. It's something else. It's a juvenile. It's a juvenile form of humor.
Well, I think that's more of a I'm better than you perspective when they're all snotty about stuff. And that's not, there's no humor in snotty.
Well, it's like that guy who, that was a big thing on Monday. Remember the guy from MSNBC? I mean, that's an example. That's an example of a guy. I can look right at those eyes and I can tell you the man's crazy.
Should we take him off the air because I'm uncomfortable with him being uncomfortable?
Yeah, take him off the air. They probably gave him an advance and pill. You know, I was laying in bed last night. I was saying to myself, do you realize we've had a communist revolution in this country that they take a gutter rat like Al Sharpton, a man involved in the most despicable smear campaign that you could imagine, a man who egged on the Freddy's Fashion Mart fire, a despicable rabble-rouser with no credentials whatsoever, and give him a talk show, and then to top it off, the man is invited to the White House. This is right out of Mao Zedong's playbook.
Yeah, I can see that.
And by the way, that's not sarcasm, what I just said. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You can still buy large bottles in stores, but in a restaurant, 16 ounces is the maximum that they would be able to serve in one cup. If you want to order two cups at the same time, that's fine. It's your choice. We're not taking away anybody's right to do things. We're simply forcing you to understand that you have to make the conscious decision to go from one cup to another cup.
Don't let party labels blind you. No party in government has a monopoly on truth or God on its side. And I should know, I was a Democrat before I was a Republican, before I became an independent. And I never changed my principles.
You never had any. Before I became an independent? You mean before you became a dependent? Of course you never changed your principles. I don't think you ever had any. What are your principles? Did you hear that man's speech about soda before? Just before this? He said, we're forcing them. We're not taking anything away. We're forcing them. Did you hear what he just said? Of course you were never a man who changed your principles. Your principle has always been that of forcing people to your will. Because you want me to do a psychological analysis of Bloomberg? You want to talk about people who have an ego problem? People who have, when they were small and young and picked on, they decide they're going to be powerful and tough when they're big. And they manipulate people and control people. And the worse they had it as a child, the worse they are as an adult. What do you mean I never changed my principles? This is a terrible situation. Here is a man out of one side of his mouth. He says you can't have soda above a certain amount that I dictate. But go to Nathan's and have hot dogs. Which side is he on? We don't know. But I don't want a big... I mean, it's not the biggest problem in the world. You know, it's not the biggest problem in the world. But it just shows you what the liberal agenda really is. Ban cigarettes, ban fast food, ban soda, and make sure you get your medication and make certain that your daughter is on medical marijuana so we can continue to manipulate the entire society and use you like putty, just like putty. What do you want to talk about in the Savage Nation? Look at the calls I got. I'm afraid to even tell you what people are asking me. I can't. You're never going to believe this if I ever told you some of the calls that are hanging. It's hard to believe. There's nothing better than this. Let's go to a rock and roller. How about the Chances Are by Johnny Mathis? That's a sappy song. It really is. I don't want to hear it. Diana by Paul Anka. That's got a little life to it. You got Diana by Paul Anka? Click the button already. Diana by Paul Anka. That's all. Click it. You press a switch. Turn it off. I don't like it. I don't like echo chambers because I have the bad ears right now. I feel like I'm in an echo chamber. 2 hours, I'll be on the plane. I know it's going to be like Midnight Cowboy. I just know it. If I'm going home with a 40% hearing loss and I'm a little, you know, imbalanced from some kind of eustachian tube problem, and I'm sitting on a plane, it could be a Midnight Cowboy job in the seat. The plane lands and I don't get out of the chair. I don't even care anymore. I don't fear it anymore. I just don't fear any of it. It's just unbelievable to me. So what? Someone will pick me up and take me to the right place. You know what I'm saying? How about Sea of Love by Phil Phillips and the Twilights? Come with me. I love that song.
Come with me, my love, to the sea of love. I want to tell you how.
Go into a tenor range now. Baritone to a tenor. I want to tell you.
Do you remember
what happened to my poor country? How did the worst people in my generation become so powerful? How did the most evil, manipulative people on the planet become so powerful? What happened? How did it happen? We got the worst people in history running everything. I don't care what side of the aisle they're on. The absolute worst people in the history of America are now on top of the heap. Unbelievable to me. How did it happen? How did it happen like this? In my generation, a guy like Bloomberg, if he didn't have his father give him a start, the most that he ever could have had was 3 Carvel stores. 2 in Queens and 1 in Brooklyn. That's it. How in the world are we like... In my day, a guy like Obama, if it wasn't the con and the manipulation of the vote, a guy like Obama, the most he could have been, junior college teacher, nothing wrong with him, that's the most. Like teaching social studies in a junior college. That's as far as he would have gotten. In my day, a guy like Eric Holder, if the system wasn't rigged and they didn't use the racist thing, they didn't use that for him to get where he is, the most he could have been, a lawyer taking accident cases, like crashes. In my day, a guy like, actually, I can't say anything about Romney right now because people are getting mad. Like when I attacked Bush, they hated me for it. I got a lot to say about Romney, but we got to get him elected for 2 reasons alone. People say, "What? Well, come on, you can't knock Romney." I said, "What do you mean I can't? Why not?" Because the other guy is so bad. You better. All right, so I said I don't knock Romney. I call him Romney. You want me to call him Mr. Weakney? I'll call him Mr. Weakney. I'll call him Mr. Weakney. I'll call him anything. What do I care? What do I care? A guy like that, nobody knows what to do. The man doesn't say anything. No, there's no there. They want him to get angry. They want him to say something. But why am I going to vote for Romney if you want me to do politics for 30 seconds or less is simple. 2 issues. Taxation, meaning the government will take less of what I earn than they will under the communist regime. And 2, on national security, Romney will let me sleep better at night knowing that he definitely knows the threat of Islamofascism. Whereas with Obama, we understand what happened. And the soldiers are likely to be prosecuted less under Romney than they are under Obama. So for those 2 reasons, I'm going to vote for Weakney.
Savage.
Warning: The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now, some of the audio today borders on the mad comic level, such as the first piece, which is former President George Bush talking about his new portrait at the White House.
I am pleased that my portrait brings an interesting symmetry to the White House collection. It now starts and ends with a George W. When the British burned the White House, as Fred mentioned, in 1814, Dolly Madison famously saved this portrait of the first George W. Now, Michelle, if anything happens, there's your man. I'm also pleased, Mr. President, that when you are wandering these halls as you wrestle with tough decisions, you will now be able to gaze at this portrait and ask, what would George do?
You got to hear this. New York mayor and big liberal Michael Bloomberg on his attempt to ban large sodas. Little brother is watching you.
Explain how you think this would work and counteract the criticism that this is the nanny state run amok.
Well, the way it would work is simply those organizations, that those industries that we regulate, which are restaurants and movie theaters and carts, they can still sell 32 ounces of a sugar drink to you, but they'd have to put it in two containers. And the idea here is you tend to eat all the food in the container in front of you. If it's a bigger container, you'll eat more. If somebody put a smaller glass or plate or bowl in front of you, you would eat less. You can still buy large bottles in store. But in a restaurant, 16 ounces is the maximum that they would be able to serve in one cup. If you want to order two cups at the same time, that's fine. It's your choice. We're not taking away anybody's right to do things. We're simply forcing you to understand that you have to make the conscious decision to go from one cup to another cup.
Now you have to listen to Attorney General Eric Holder saying that voting rights in America are in danger. He means the voting rights for illegal aliens and those who vote twice. We heard the postman rings twice. We didn't hear that the voter votes twice.
As you know, this is no time to become complacent. Right. Yes, we have walked far on the long road toward freedom, but we've not yet reached the promised land. And in too many places, it's painfully clear that our nation's long struggle to overcome injustice, to eliminate disparities, to bridge long-standing divisions, to eradicate violence, and to uphold the civil rights of all citizens has not yet ended. Now, our efforts honor the generations who have taken extraordinary risks and willingly confronted hatred, bias, and ignorance, as well as billy clubs and fire hoses, bullets, and bombs, to ensure that their children and all citizens would have the chance to participate in the work of their government. Without those people, there would be no Eric Holder. There would be no Barack Obama. And we must never forget that. No force has proved more powerful or more integral to the success of the great American experiment than efforts to expand the franchise. Without the right to vote, there'd be no Congressional Black Caucus. These people who lead our nation, who are the conscience of Congress, would not be here without the right to vote.
Here's what's going on in the news on MichaelSavage.com. Mitt Romney is finally attacking Obama on the scandal of the solar company Solyndra. The Spanish are dumping their money. They moved $82 billion last month out of Spain. Investors are fleeing out of Spain. We heard the rain in Spain moves mainly down the drain. You now may want to add to it, the gold in Spain is going down the drain.
Guess there's some pain in Spain.
Also on MichaelSavage.com, mistrial in the John Edwards trial. Not guilty on one count. Axelrod, that's Obama's brain. Axelrod's anti-Romney message gets drowned out in Boston. Wow.
Too bad.
Old Axelrod doesn't sell in Boston, huh? Stocks in a dive. More voters trust Republicans than Democrats on the economy in the latest poll. The U.S. lost 129,000 millionaires in 2011. Study says for some, exercise may increase heart risk. What have I been telling you? Right, Beowulf?
Yep.
I mean, it's amazing. Nancy Pelosi, the genius, says Obamacare will be upheld 6-3 by the Supreme Court because I know the Constitution. Does she own the Supreme Court as well? Well, we'll have to wait and find out. After all, the 1919 World Series was fixed, wasn't it? Sun newspapermen tricked their way into the Hitler dictatorship in North Korea and found roller skating animals in slave circus. Unbelievable, this goes on. Massacre in Seattle Art Cafe. Oh, my God. Rise in cases of gonorrhea leads to fear it will be untreatable. Really? Wow. My mother was right. Sex is dirty. Eat better, eat better. What do you need to run around with girls? Eat, eat. You won't want anything after you'll be nullified, stupefied, home fried. Federal court strikes down Defense of Marriage Act. A three-judge panel of goons in Boston ruled in favor of the homosexual lobby. GM makes undisclosed $600,000 deal with CFO wife's agency. Bailout. Democrat crony socialist nightmare. Bloomberg wants to impose 16-ounce limit on sugar drinks. No comment. Food fascism, I wrote it in 1982. The big story is, for some, exercise may increase heart risk. The researchers say they do not know why. I know why. Because it's a stress. It's an amazing story. A new study involving 1,687 people. They found that 10% actually got worse than at least one of the measures related to heart disease when exercising. Blood pressure and levels of insulin, HDL cholesterol, or triglycerides. The researchers say they do not know why. Of course they don't know why. They don't know anything. Well, how should they know anything? Moderation. Moderation, moderation, moderation. So as I say to you, moderation in everything, especially exercise, especially over the age of 40. Don't push yourself. You're not 17. There's a lot of wisdom in calming down a little bit. Take it from me. Look how calm I am. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation. Wait, hang on before I go. I read an article on how the economy has affected consumers and that customer service and return policies are really now the main reasons people choose to do business with a company. Case in point, it's time to replace the blinds, shades, or shutters in your home. You take your measurements, you head off to the big home improvement store. Sure, they take your order. But when your window coverings arrive, you find out they don't fit because the schmuck from the plumbing department gave you bad advice. You trudge back and they tell you, sorry, no returns on custom orders. Not at blinds.com. Not at blinds.com. See, even if you mismeasure, which almost never happens, they'll remake it for free. Who does that? There are also over 100 real experts in-house happy to assist. Get free color samples, free shipping, and no sales tax in most states. Plus, expert installers if you need one. That's blinds.com, where their prices absolutely crush home improvement store prices. Blinds.com, I've used them for blinds. I love them. Blinds.com. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
We all have experiences that shake our faith. There are times where we have questions for God's plan relative to us. But that's precisely when we should remember Christ's own doubts and eventually
his own trials. What's the whisper in the doubts?
Jesus told us as much in the book of John.
Let me ask you something. Would you trust anyone who has Al Sharpton in the White House? Would you trust anyone to be telling you the truth who invites a street radical, an agitator, to an Easter prayer breakfast? I wouldn't. So here we are, 1-800-449, you know the number, you know the book, you know the website, I got a pair of shoes to sell you, a floor mat, medication to give you a male enhancement, hair growth. It's getting frightening. It's all about race now. Wherever I turn, it's race. Now I wake up and I see that the Democrats are blacklisting Walmart and Coke. Now, why are they blacklisting Walmart and Coca-Cola? Why? What does Coca-Cola have to do with anything? According to the wonderful, fine, upstanding citizens in the Congressional Black Caucus, they're leading a campaign against Coca-Cola and Walmart because these companies apparently want America not to be controlled by illegal aliens. In other words, they want voter ID laws put in place. Every poll shows that most Americans back voter ID laws. But the Congressional Black Caucus says that they are equal to segregation. and they want this knocked out. They want no voter ID laws. Now, why would black leaders not want voter ID laws? The only people who benefit from that are illegal aliens who are not citizens. They're the only ones who benefit from no voter ID laws. What's intriguing to me is that I feared this would happen. I feared that the way he would rig the election, steal the election, really, was through illegal aliens. I feared that. I said it to you at least 9 months ago, then 6 months ago. It's as though my prediction is coming true. And I want to talk about it. I have said to you that this is the most corrupt administration in our history. I've told it to you over and over again on my radio show. I've said that Barack Obama is presiding over the most corrupt administration in this country's history. I said he's bringing Chicago-style strong-arm politics to Washington. You've heard that before, right? Well, here's a little fact for you. It came and went real quickly. This is why he's sure he's going to win the election. This is why he whispered to Medvedev with the closed mic, when I'm reelected. This is why he said, when I'm reelected. You want the answer? It's found in four paragraphs on page 25 of Trickle Down Tyranny. How many predictions have I made in this country in any of my speeches or books that were right? Many, correct? Well, unfortunately, I'm right again. Page 25, Trickle Down Tyranny. You won't see it in any other book. You ready for it? Did you hear that the Obama administration has sold the rights to processing our election results to a private company? That this critical component of a free election, the transparent tabulation of votes, will now be handled not by individual precincts, but by a company over which we will have little control. Did you know about that? SOE, a U.S. elections results processing company, which has handled processing election results from over 500 American jurisdictions, has typically provided prompt reporting of precinct-level results. However, SOE was recently acquired by SCYTL, a vote processing company based in Spain. And this compromises the process enormously. Instead of producing election results trackable at the precinct level, votes will be transmitted to a central server where they will be counted. The problem is that once the votes are merged, it will be impossible to go back and check their integrity at the local level. I conclude this on page 25 with this. It is very likely that this is the final step in Barack Obama's corruption of the voting process. It has the promise of enabling him and his cohorts to control the outcomes of federal elections with no accountability. On top of that, it's one more step toward the formation of a global government, one of the aims of George Soros, whose puppet currently occupies the White House. Did you know that both Barack and Michelle Obama voluntarily gave up their law licenses and are not permitted to practice law in the United States? Why did he do that? It's the same sort of voluntary surrender that Bill Clinton made after he lied under oath. Are you aware of just how extensive the corruption was when Obama turned stimulus money? Well, I'm not going to read you the whole book. You bought the book. You're going to buy the book. However many sell. I would say to you that the story about vote rigging is the most important thing you can show to your so-called liberal wife, liberal husband, liberal child, because it's the end of freedom in America. Did you hear what I said? Do you think I made this up? Who owns SCYTL, a vote processing company based in Spain? Anybody who can find out who was on the board of directors and call the show, I will give you three books. I will give you Trickle Down Tyranny. I will give you Abuse of Power. And I'll give you Trickle Up Poverty. If anyone can crack the code and tell me who this company is, who controls it, who owns it, you get three free books today. Everyone else who gets on the air, who has a good story to tell, will be getting a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. So I have a few questions for you on the Savage Nation. Remember when Bush was president? Remember? And remember when the liberals who went out of business did nothing but Bush bashing day in and day out, and people got fed up with it, and we in the conservative media would say, God, how can they get away with this? Why are they bashing Bush? It's boring. Can't they do anything else, right? Well, do you think that my criticizing Obama on a daily basis, do you think my writing a book where I show you in black and white with reference after reference after reference, do you think it's boring? Do you think it's necessary? Or do you think it's racist of me to even criticize the president? Do you think any criticism of Obama is based upon the fact that he is has an African father. Because I've seen reviews on Amazon.com that were positive. Then I saw the plants from the Democrat machine saying, oh, here's another guy who's hateful that there's a black guy in the White House and I don't like it. Savage repeatedly and falsely accuses the president of engaging in promoting socialist policies. Am I right or wrong? Who's right, me or this plant of the government? Because others love the book. They're saying, just finished chapter one. As with a lobster and steak dinner, I will keep eating. I certainly know why I've always called Michael the bullseye man. Others say Michael is the true voice of the American people. His book, Trickle Down Tyranny, is the best laid out plan to get the country back. I don't want to read you the reviews. I can't read things on the air. You know, it's an interesting thing about radio that when I read things, I lose my energy. I do spontaneous shows. I can't read even from my own book without losing energy. Would you believe it? It's a funny thing. It's one of these days I'll do a seminar on broadcasting, since I'm probably good at it. Consider I'm good at it. Never went to school for it. I'm a natural. Either you know how to walk on a tightrope or you don't. You can go to all the classes in the world and you're never going to be a great tightrope artist. But one of the things you got to understand is that talk radio has to be spontaneous to be good. People will turn off if you're reading something. I don't care if it's a bill in the Senate or even from your own book, no matter how scintillating it is. They want to hear the natural Palabar. They want to hear you talk. They want to hear what you have to say. They want to hear it man to woman, woman to man. They want to hear it human to human. It's as simple as that.
Savage.
Look, you know this is the most important election in our nation's history. Now, if Barack Obama wins, it could mean the end of the freedom that we know in the United States. You think it's hyperbole? Many agree with me. Joining us right now on the Savage Nation to discuss this is Matt Kowiak, founder and president of Potomac Strategy Group and columnist for the Washington Times and The Hill. Matt, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. Great to be with you.
So if the election were held today, who would win and why?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, I think generally when incumbents are below 50, they're in trouble. And the thinking behind that is that undecided voters don't break for incumbents generally at the end of a campaign. They know the incumbent. If they're not for them after three or four years, generally they're willing to go in another direction. So sort of in a macro sense, I think Obama's in trouble. If you look at it at a micro level, you start looking at these battleground states. The map that Obama had in 2008 creates challenges for Romney. The easiest way for Romney to get to 207 electoral votes is an idea that Karl Rove has put forward. He's called 3-2-1, which is essentially first winning three states, Virginia, North Carolina, and Indiana, second winning two of the big three states, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida, probably end up being Ohio and Florida, and then winning one other state that Obama won, perhaps Wisconsin, perhaps Iowa, New Mexico, Colorado, Nevada, New Hampshire. There's a number of those states out there that you just have to win one of those. But in all, you have to win six states Obama won to get to 270 electoral votes. You start looking at those battleground polls, it's possible. But again, you've got to win all six of those and not lose any state that McCain won. And so when you start looking at those battleground states, it becomes a little bit more difficult.
Who do you think Romney will pick as his VP, and who do you think he should pick?
I think that there are two tracks for VP for Romney, and I'll preface this by saying those who speak don't know, and those who know don't speak. But I think if the first track is if it's close, if it remains close as it is now, essentially a margin of error general election in terms of the overall national vote, I think he's likely to make a selection that doesn't really have any downside risk, that's sort of a do-no-harm vanilla choice. If it's within that category, I think it's either Senator Rob Portman of Ohio or perhaps former presidential candidate and former Governor Tim Pawlenty of Minnesota, both of whom I think would not create much excitement but would also do little to no harm to the ticket, are plausible presidents, don't have any major weaknesses, et cetera. I think there's also a second track, which is sort of harkens back to McCain 2008. If he's back behind by, let's say, 5 points in mid-July, when it's around the time he has to make the decision, that's when you start to consider choices that might have more upside but also more potential downside. You could see someone like Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey. You could see Senator Marco Rubio, who's a little bit unproven and untested at the national level. So, you know, there are some choices out there like that, that have more potential upside but also more potential downside. So for me, I actually think Paul Ryan is the best choice. And the reason I think that is that if you look at where the country is, the challenges we face, the fiscal mess that we're inheriting from Obama, adding $5 trillion to the debt, Paul Ryan is the most articulate, most experienced person in the country to make the case for why we need fiscal responsibility at the federal level. Romney's going to get hit for the Paul Ryan budget. We might as well have the guy who authored the budget, who knows it inside and out, who knows how to make the arguments, and who is very difficult to turn into a demon in Paul Ryan. The fact that he's from Wisconsin, that he's from the Midwest, that he's got a good personal story, that he has very little downside, apart from the demagoguery that we'll see, I think he'd be our best possible choice for vice president.
Well, what happens if Obama and Romney tie in electoral votes? Is that even possible?
Well, there are so many scenarios, sure. I mean, I'd say it's a 1% chance. Ultimately, I think it'll be close. I don't think it'll be that close. If they do tie 269 to 269 electoral votes, you're going to see a very interesting scene play out. What happens is the vote for president goes to the House of Representatives. Each state delegation gets one vote. All 50 states total would vote, and they would elect the president. I don't know what happens if it's 25-25 in that circumstance. I presume that wouldn't happen. But for vice president, senators elect the vice president. So if we had a situation where perhaps you had a Democratic majority in the Senate and a Republican majority in the House, you could easily have a Republican president and a Democratic vice president, which would be really quite amazing.
What will Tuesday's Wisconsin recall election tell us, if anything, about the general election?
Well, I think Wisconsin is important for two reasons. The first is that Scott Walker has shown and demonstrated tremendous courage in pushing forward the reforms that he believed were necessary to save Wisconsin. He's fought this battle for a very long time and has really been a real national leader. And so the fact that after all these millions of dollars, after going through the recall, that it looks like he's going to win the race, I think is important for the Republican Party, for the conservative movement, for the state of Wisconsin, and for looking at a model of fiscal responsibility that we can turn to at the national level when we're ready to. On the second point, there's different schools of thought. There are many people who think that we're going to get a lot of good data out of this recall election, and if Republicans win, I think the latest poll is 52-45 for Walker. If we win by 3 to 5 points, that will bode very well for the fall. I think in terms of organizing and IDing voters and creating excitement and enthusiasm, it will. There's also been some polling that's shown that this governor's race is pretty local. It's hyper-local. The governor's races and national races are different. And so, you know, we'll see. Obviously, the Romney campaign needs to expand the map. They need to find that sixth state that they can turn away from Obama to Romney. Wisconsin, Bush lost Wisconsin by 0.2% in 2000 and 0.4% in 2004. So Republicans have been close there. But Obama did win it by a significant margin in 2008. So my sense is it's a positive development. It means Wisconsin will be a battleground state. It means the Romney campaign will look at it very closely, but it remains to be seen.
What are the chances that the Republicans will hold on to the House and take back the Senate?
I think pretty good. I mean, I'd say 60%, 60, 65%. Obviously, it depends a lot on the presidential. When you look at what the Republican Senate Campaign Committee has done in expanding the map, I think they've done a pretty good job. There have been a couple states where they've missed, but you have really 8 or 9 or 10 seats that are in play, and almost all of them are Democratic seats. There's only 2 Republican seats that are in play, Nevada with Dean Heller, and Massachusetts with Scott Brown. Scott Brown appears to be in strong shape. Dean Heller also seems to be up a little bit, although that one is a little bit less developed at this point. You know, in order for Republicans to take the Senate back, if they win the presidency and the vice presidency, they need 3 seats, because then the vice president can break the tie. If they do not win the White House, then they'll need a net of 4 seats. One thing that's making it more complicated is Maine. You have Olympia Snow retiring. You have Angus King, a former governor, running as an independent. He's been very coy about who he would caucus with if he were elected. I think the expectation is he probably would caucus with the Democrats, but it's very hard to predict. So it could be that Republicans actually won one more seat to get that safe majority. So, you know, it's very hard to go from a net of four to a net of five. The higher you go in that number, the harder it is to pick up that additional seat because you've got some low-hanging fruit. In the Senate, we're going to get Montana, I think. We're definitely going to have North Dakota, and we're definitely going to have Nebraska. That gets you three. And you probably need, as I said, maybe two more to be safe. Missouri looks possible. And, you know, one other state that's out there. So I feel pretty good about Republican prospects for taking the Senate back. I feel very good about the House. I think Democrats need a net of 25 seats to take the House back. I don't see that kind of wave happening this year. They may pick up five seats. We may pick up five seats. But ultimately, I think the House is going to remain basically where it is.
Matt Mikowiak, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael. Great to be with you. You can learn more at PotomacStrategyGroup.com.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
I am pleased that my portrait brings an interesting symmetry to the White House collection. It now starts and ends with a George W. When the British burned the White House, as Fred mentioned, in 1814, Dolly Madison famously saved this portrait of the first George W. Now, Michelle, if anything happens, there's your man. I'm also pleased, Mr. President, that when you are wandering these halls as you wrestle with tough decisions, you will now be able to gaze at this portrait and ask, what would George do?
Chicago, Bruce, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I appreciate your dedication and work, and I just want to ask your opinion when you have sinus congestion, cold, and trying to get over it, using a neti pot.
You know, you ask the wrong person. These hippie, let's start with this. I mean, I am an expert at herbal medicine. I've written books on homeopathy and such, and I do believe to a certain extent in alternative medicine. So let's frame it that way. However, when it comes to sticking a neti pot with salt water into my nostril and having it run all over my clothing, I mean, there's a limit to how far into the third world healing I am willing to go. If you're interested in using something in your nostrils because of sinus congestion that's a little less dramatic, I would suggest buying a little salt water, you know, the saline sprays in a drugstore.
Yep.
Or, for that matter, you can mix salt water in your own house and inhale it. It'll run down your throat and all over your neck anyway. The neti pot thing is very, very Nelly. It's very Nelly. I'm sorry. You've tried it with the spout in the nostril?
I haven't tried it yet. I was told about it and didn't know if it was going to be anything.
There's something icky about the neti pot that I can't get into. I mean, if I were to use a neti pot on a clogged nostril, it would have to be in a bathtub. It's going to run all over your neck, down on your lip. I mean, do you want, like, mucus on your neck? You know, the reason they could use it in India is that they basically don't believe in dry cleaning, number one. And number two, they could do it while they're swimming in the Ganges River. You know, take your neti pot and go have a bath in the Ganges. But it's not made for Westerners who are sitting in a normal environment who basically want to wear a white shirt and tie in the morning, you know. But look, to each his own. Today in America, anything goes, including neti pots, I suppose. Andy in Chicago. Is that Jandy or Andy? My eyes are blurry. Andy, what's on your mind, Andy?
You know, it's a curse when people call you with stuff like that because you're so graphic. I'm just cringing in my car. So,
no, I have a gift with words, but if he's going to ask me about a neti pot, what can I say to him other than there's a certain limit to how much into the third world I'm going to go? I do not want mucus from my nose all over my collar, no.
But it's just horrible the way you describe it. It's like I'm sitting in my car and it's real. Stop yourself. Hey, I want to talk about gardening. First of all, I have two dogs that are diggers. I don't have a lot to I need to pot plant in a pot, and also more importantly, I don't want to know what you're planting this year.
I planted tomatoes, Italian parsley, basil, and I have a bunch of fruit trees. However, almost all my fruit trees are infected with a fungal disease this year, which is common now in the San Francisco Bay Area. They all have a curly leaf disease, which is caused by a countywide fungus. So unfortunately, the trees are being sprayed. We are spraying them with an organic spray, so the fruit will still be useful, but it's pretty horrible to see that.
How about something that maybe you could plant? I have a 9-year-old daughter who wants to plant carrots. And I have two dogs that love to dig. Our
carrots are good, but, you know, I don't know. Do you cook? So Italian parsley's nice to plant. I'm very impressed with the pots that they give you now that come out of nurseries, which have they're like an earth pot that you can put right in the ground. Have you seen them? They're amazing.
No.
You gently tear the bottom of the pot off. They have the seedlings in them, right? And you gently tease off the bottom of the pot, which is sort of a compost paper type of pot. And then you pull out the tendrils very delicately. You tease them out. You dig a hole. You put the whole pot right in the ground. It's got pre-fertilized. And this is the most amazing thing that they've developed. So it's almost impossible to screw up having something grow. I mean, I planted my tomatoes out here in California in very late March. I prefer planting them in early March, but they were not available. You want to get the tomatoes in by early April, the latest on the West Coast, but you're in Chicago, which is just the right time for you, right?
Right. Right now, I mean, we have...
Yeah, but, you know, plants are amazing for children because I remember as a kid, you talk about graphic. I remember in the third, fourth grade, they had us grow lima beans. Kids don't know the first thing about reality. When we sprouted lima beans and I saw a shoot come out of it, I was astounded to understand that inherent in a bean was life itself. In other words, the whole concept of living foods came home to me crystal clear. It's a beautiful thing to teach your children how to plant things.
That's what she learned was when we planted a bean, you know how the bean actually comes up, the shell of the bean comes out of the ground on the plant. That's what
yes.
actually got her very, very excited about it.
That's right, and it takes the child's mind away from the computer and away from the fantasy on the computer into the reality of the earth. There's really nothing better. I'm 100% for little, even gardens and cities. You could do them in windowsills if you got sunlight and you keep up the watering, you can do them there. But I don't want to do a gardening show. I mean, gardening is nice. It's not like my whole life. It's just beautiful. That's something Michelle Obama and I share, is a love for vegetable gardens. Oh, here we go. Another neti pot call. Just what I need. Okay, if you got disgusted by the last neti pot call, I'd recommend that you put it on mute for a minute. Frankie in Chicago, go ahead, please.
You know, the neti pot thing, my mother says, oh, my boyfriend uses the neti pot. Try it. It works. All it did was irritate my mucous membranes more. Not only did it do that.
Why are so many American men suddenly sticking teapots in their nose?
I have no idea. But
what did the Indians run out of a market for teapots, so they came up with this neti pot concept?
It just doesn't make sense.
I mean, next they'll sell them for, shall I say, ears. They'll call it an ear. You get an earache, stick the neti pot in your ear. They'll work your way down the body.
Yeah, the whole allergy thing. I understand people's problems with allergies, and they're looking for alternatives. But as far as taking salt, basically, it's pouring it into the...
Well, all right, now let's start. Salt water is very therapeutic for irritated sinus cavities, incidentally. It's just a matter of whether or not you want to apply it using a neti pot or just simply buy a little spray in a drugstore. I mean, I prefer the more, let us say, westernized approach, which is a little bottle of saline solution.
The amount, you know, they tell you to put in there.
Oh, it's horrible. No, it's disgusting till it runs in the back. It's graphically disgusting. This is something that I have to cut off at a certain point. Because once it goes in the back of your throat, you can't ever eat food again. Nothing ever tastes right. Once let's cut it off right there because I can get even more graphic. And I don't really mean to, just for shock value. You want to talk about peach trees or Osama bin Laden? Sacramento, Terry, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah, stop with the pots. Yeah, your peaches have peach leaf curl that has nothing to do with the Bay Area. It's all over California fruit orchards this year because all the rain we had. And the best thing you can do is just keep your trees healthy, put compost, or I don't do organic, fertilize them to get those leaves growing.
Oh, so in other words, even if we spray them, it's the fruit's shot.
Yeah, well, your fruit's not shot. You got to get your leaves growing again. If you get some fertilizer on them,
what do you mean? You're saying that they were overwatered from the heavy rains this winter?
No, No, there's a fungus that's endemic in California. It's there every year, and it's exacerbated by a lot of rainfall. So I'm over in the Fresno County area where there's we have 100,000 acres of peach trees there, and there's guys that have done everything, myself included, and I have peach leaf curl. And what you do is you just grow the tree out of it. But next winter, make sure you put a dormant spray on it, a copper Bordeaux that kills that fungus in the dormant season.
I get it. So what should I do right now? What are you saying? Just keep the tree healthy with fertilizer and let it grow itself out is what you're suggesting.
It's going to drop all those leaves, and what you need to do is just put just light fertilizer every couple of weeks. So if you're doing the organic thing, get fish emulsion or whatever those guys say to use.
No, God, I got to go kill fish and grind them into the fish powder. All right, well, good. Thanks for the tip. You're an actual farmer. That's good enough for me. I had prize apricots. I have a small hillside orchard in one of my properties, and it was a prized 25-year-old apricot orchard when I bought it. And I'll tell you, each year it's gotten worse.
Savage.